On any given Sunday morning, many people could be preparing themselves to go worship God, but they choose not to. And this morning I want to talk about the importance of coming together to worship God. I've been looking at the Psalms, and I want to look at Psalm 84 this morning, where the psalmist longs for temple worship. This psalm is being written at a time when the temple, Solomon's temple, is in existence, and he wants to come and worship in the temple. Friends, what is your attitude toward worship? On any given Sunday morning when I am driving to worship God with my wife, I look around and often the roads are pretty bare. You see a few people probably out running errands. Some are going to a church service somewhere. But many, many people are staying inside. Why is that? Well, when I was a child, there would be a lot of people who would be going to some sort of a worship service on Sunday morning. When I was real little, we still had what was called blue laws, where many businesses and stores and various types of businesses were closed on Sunday. They would not sell things on Sunday. There might be a restaurant here or there open, retail stores, various businesses were closed. And today, just about everything is open on Sunday, just like the rest of the week. I remember when the mailman would come Monday through Friday, then it was Monday through Saturday, and now they're delivering mail on Sunday. Sunday is just another day of the week for so many people, or it's a weekend where you take off for yourself and certainly don't go worship God. And it's a shame that worship is not a priority in so many people's lives. And if you listen to me each week, I appreciate that. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things and Bible study. But I would challenge you to get out of your home and come worship with me and other good brethren at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. It's good to study our Bibles. I love Bible study. But we have an obligation to get out and worship God. That's very important. That's a part of New Testament Bible as much as anything else, assembling for worship. So I want to talk about Psalm 84 this morning, longing for temple worship. I want to do two things. I want to go down through the psalm verse by verse and bring out some points from the text involving worship. And then I want to close this morning with a few points dealing with how we might improve our worship to God. Like I said, when I was little, there were many people who would get out on a Sunday morning and go worship God. That's going by the wayside. Why is that? Well, there are a number of different reasons why people don't get out. I'm talking about people who physically can get out. It could be laziness. They're just lazy. It could be misplaced priorities. They've got more important things to do. Golfing, sitting at home reading the paper, lawn work, going to the beach, going to the lake, whatever. It could be that they weren't raised to do that. We have a whole younger generation that were not raised on God and the Bible and prayer and church, things like that. So they're just not used to doing it. It could be some are directly opposed to that. I know some who have been to worship services before and something bad happened at the church, something with the preacher or the pastor, something happened with the church as a whole, and they got a bad taste in their mouth, so to speak, over the whole thing, and they're just burnt out on religion. There are a number of reasons why people don't get out and worship God, but we don't need to let things like that keep us from worshiping God. Let me encourage you to do that. And yes, we can do some things in our home. Some people say, well, I can worship God in my home. Well, there are some things that we can do scripturally in our home. We can pray and read our Bible. We can sing. But there are some things that absolutely must be done in an assembly. Remembering the Lord's death with the Lord's Supper is one of them that is done in the assembly. God wants us to come together. Jesus wants us to come together. That's what the New Testament church did. That's what he wanted them to do, and that's what we need to do today. Let me encourage you to have this attitude of the psalmist, to long for temple worship. And today, the Lord's church is the Lord's temple, the Lord's house, and we need to come together. It's not a building, it's a people. People are the temple, people are the Lord's house, and we need to assemble with them. We need to be a New Testament Christian, assemble with them, and have a worship that is meaningful. And the other thing is that people don't realize what positive benefits you get out of worship. The mental and spiritual benefits, how it refreshes the mind and the heart and the soul. And it helps us to begin the week. It's a great day. Sunday is the first day of the week. It's a time to start off the week before we go to work, to have a spiritual recharge, to have a spiritual foundation, to get started right, on the right foot, before we have to face the challenging things of life, or the depressing things of life, or the hard things of life. We don't realize what songs can do for us, and a good sermon, and prayers, and looking at our Bible, and remembering the Lord's death with the Lord's Supper. These kinds of things recharge us, they regenerate us, they plant ideas in our mind each Sunday that help us to reflect on those things throughout the week. People don't realize the good that comes if they would just come and worship God, the good that it does for them. So let's look at Psalm 84. The Psalms, some of them have subtitles that are attributed to different individuals. Some of those are notes involving how it's to be sung or the instruments that were to be played with it. This is in a time where instruments were played along with the singing under the Old Testament law. Different notes are given on some of these psalms. This particular psalm is attributed to the sons of Korah. Korah was a rebellious man in the wilderness as the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness. He didn't like the authority of Moses, he and others, in Numbers chapter 16. And he rebelled, and he is killed along with others for his rebellion. Well, generations later, his descendants, the sons of Korah, they were Levites in charge of the temple service and temple doors. And unlike Korah, who was proud and rebellious toward God, they longed to worship God with humility, and they could not wait until it was their turn to serve in the worship service of the temple. And there are 11 psalms attributed to the sons of Korah. Psalm 84 has 12 verses that can be nicely divided into 4 verses and 3 points of 4 verses each. Dwelling in the sanctuary of God, verses 1 through 4. Drawing on the strength of God, verses 5 through 8. And delighting in the service of God, verses 9 through 12. But another way to look at the psalm and to outline the thoughts of it, I want to use another outline that focuses on worship, another one that I like as well. Verses 1 through 4, the passion for worship. Verses 5 through 8, the pilgrimage to worship. Verses 9 through 12, the presence of worship. Let's look at that this morning. First of all, the passion of worship. Do we have a strong desire and a passion to come and worship God? Let's look at Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4, the passion for worship. This is not, I get there and it's ho-hum and go through the routines and let's see if we can get through this so that I can get out of there for lunch. It's not boredom. It's not looking around bored and lifeless and we don't care anything. It is a strong desire to come and a strong desire to be there, and we're putting our heart and mind and soul and body into it. The passion for worship. Verse 1, the psalmist, one of these sons of Korah, they write, "How amiable or lovely are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts." How lovely. Worship is lovely. It's pleasant. It's dear to the heart. It's thrilling to the soul. It's not lifeless. It's not a bunch of dead people or zombies or lifeless folks. The church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 had a name that they were living, but they were dead spiritually. That would be a spiritually dead church, a walking dead church. We don't want that. How lovely are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah, or the Lord of hosts. Verse 2, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out unto the living God. Wow, my soul longs, even faints. There's some people, they're not going to darken the doors. They're not going to come. They've got all kinds of stuff they want to do. Worship should come from the whole of man, my heart and my soul and my flesh. This is the spiritual and the physical side of man. Here's an intense desire for fellowship with God in worship. What an attitude. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow has found her a house, and the sparrow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Talking about birds making nests in various parts of the temple where there were little pieces sticking out here and there where they could start getting a foothold and making a nest. This author is looking on the outside of the temple and seeing where birds were making nests. Maybe some of them had gotten inside, I don't know, making nests. But he's looking at as a symbol or a figure for a place that provides a peaceable and safe home. These birds have a safe home. This is where I can come as well and have peace and safety as I go through life. You begin to see that this is not somebody who is bored. This is not somebody who's going through the ritual and the routine. This is not somebody who's mad, coming bored. Sometimes parents or grandparents will try to get their children or grandchildren to come and they would rather be somewhere else. We've got to develop a passion for worship, verses 1 through 4. Look at the rest of verse 3, even thine altars, O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God. Is this where I can come? The birds come here. I need to be here. And notice that Jehovah, the Eternal One, is my King and my God, my ruler and my creator, my ruler and one who has almighty power over me. We've got to get back to that in our life. We've got to get back to that in our nation. We've got to get back to that in our world. Imagine if everybody came together on a Sunday and approached life that way, how different Monday would be. Stop and think about that. Verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Friends, we've got to have a life of continual happiness and praise. When we come and dwell in God's house, we leave praising God. We leave happy. There's a bunch of people around that are depressed. They're mad. They're angry. They're stressed. And people have high levels of anxiety and stress and depression and divorce and strung out on alcohol and drugs and suicide and other kinds of things going on in their life. They could come and get a mental health checkup every week if they wanted to. That would so help them. We need that in our life. And the psalmist says they're blessed, they're happy. Friends, we need to get back to the passion for worship. But verses 5 through 8, we need to be making the pilgrimage to worship. Like I said earlier, there are some things that we can do at home, but God does not intend for us to stay at home. God did not intend for the Old Testament Israelite to stay at home, but to come somewhere, beginning first in the tabernacle and later in the temple, at certain times, prescribed times, to come and worship God. And he wants the same for his New Testament church. So, verses 5 through 8, the pilgrimage to worship. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Worship should make one conscious of his happiness and strength from God. My strength is in thee. And one's love for the road to worship, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Do we have in our heart the highway that leads to worship God? I'm going to get on that highway. And I'm talking about a literal highway. I'm going to get on the highway. I'm going to leave my house and get out on the highway, get out on the street, get out on the road, get out on the boulevard, and I'm going to go worship God. That's in my heart. In other words, my desire, my plan, my goal, my priority. I look for that day to come around each week. That's the way it needs to be. We live in such a selfish world today that we're conditioning ourselves to think about, well, I get up on Saturday and Sunday, and those are my 2 days. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I've got plans to do this, and I've got plans to do that. And God is basically just shuffled off to the side, if not forgotten altogether. And we've got to get back into our heart. I'm going to make that trip to worship God. Verse 6, passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. Yea, the early rain covers it with blessings. Worship can turn weeping into joy and thirst into refreshment. There are going to be difficult things throughout the week. There's going to be depressing things throughout the week. There's things at work and school and our physical lives or physical health problems or family issues or marriage issues that are real and that can bring us down. We need something to help us with that. We've got to pass through those things in life, but worship can help us with that. I've known of some who have been brought down by those things, and it's been very terrible for them, and they won't turn to God for help. They don't want that. And they're just spiritually shooting themselves in the foot, so to speak. They will not get the help that they could get from a good worship service. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Worship constantly renews and increases one's spiritual strength. And we just go from strength to strength. We get stronger every time, and that helps us to face these things that we have to go through. Verse 8, O Jehovah, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Worship offers fellowship with God in prayer, and we can be on praying terms with God because we're living right. And for us today, we have to obey the gospel. We have to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, and we can be on praying terms with God. That's very important. And when we go, He will hear us. He will hear us. That promise of God hearing us is not just given to anyone and everyone. That's a separate study that we don't have time to go into this morning, but we've got to be on praying terms with God. And when we come and pray, He'll hear us if we're in a right relationship with Him. And of course, worship is a place for that. Verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Worship is a place where we can go and God can protect us. We seek God's favor and protection. God is our shield, and we need that in our lives today. Protection from the devil and temptations and problems that come up. And He will look upon us, and we will find favor in His sight. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And that was one of the jobs of the Levites, and one of the sons of Korah, to be a doorkeeper. I'd rather do that than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Worship is incomparable. I'd rather spend one day doing that than a thousand somewhere else doing what I shouldn't be doing. Even the small things, the small duties of worship are better than what goes on in the world. You stop and think about that. Would you rather spend one Sunday worshiping God or many days out somewhere in the world spending a bunch of money and things? Boy, somebody say, well, that's awfully tempting. But if we really understand the value of worship and get our priorities right, we will want to be worshiping God. Verse 11, for Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Worship brings provision, protection, and spiritual prosperity. We already talked about how that God is a shield. He's sun that provides blessings. He's a shield that provides protection. He gives grace and glory, which is spiritual prosperity, and no good thing will He withhold. No good thing. No good thing. We get what is good from God. It may not be what we want, but if it's good for us, God is going to give it to us. He's not going to withhold that. But look at the verse carefully, verse 11. To them that walk uprightly. We have to be right with God. That is the most important thing in life, being right with God. When I talk about the subject of righteousness, I make that point. There are a lot of things in life that we talk about being right on a test at school, the right answers on a test, giving the right answers when we're playing a board game. I like Trivial Pursuit. I like to win. I want to give the right answers. But the most important thing in life concerning being right is being right with God. And we have to have sin removed from our life to be right with God. We have to obey the gospel and live according to it each day. And so to them that walk uprightly, this blessing is given. And then last of all, in verse 12, O Jehovah of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. Worship brings happiness to the soul, where we have a trust. We have a trust. And so, verses 1 through 4, the passion for worship. Verses 5 through 8, making the pilgrimage to worship. And verses 9 through 12, being in the presence of God, the presence of worship, and the benefits that comes from that. Friends, I'm glad that you listen to me at home. I'm glad that you listen to me in the car or wherever it is you're listening. But let me strongly encourage you to get up and get out and come worship God. The corporal, meaning together with others, that corporal assembly and togetherness, that spiritual, social interaction is so important for us and for anybody else in our family. If you have others with you, if you're listening and that's not something that you've done as a parent and you have children, now's the time to start. It's never too late to start. Or if you've done it before and you're not doing it now, you can always start back again. At the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we offer each week simple New Testament worship. You would be our honored guest. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to make you stand up and give a testimonial. We're not going to embarrass you in any kind of way. You're welcome to come. Let me encourage you to do that. That is absolutely necessary and required of God. It is. And that just simply has not been taught a lot lately. And so a lot of people think it's optional. A lot of people think that I can still be right with God and not engage in worship. They just don't know the New Testament. Jesus died to establish a church, and he wants that church, that people, to assemble together each first day of the week. So not only is it a matter of benefit and blessing, it's also a matter of responsibility. And I would encourage you to start that today. But as we close this morning, just quickly, worship begins with desire. So let's work on our desire. We don't want to be whipped into worship. We want to be somebody that already longs for it. Number two, we want our worship to be where we can get strength. So we're going to offer up the best worship possible where we can be strong spiritually. And we work on that. We work on bettering our worship service so that we can gain that spiritual strength. And then number three, we need to work on our priorities where worship is better than anything else. And work on our priorities and making sure that Sunday, the day of worship, is where we come together with other Christians so that one day we can worship together with God around his throne for all eternity in heaven. Come be with us, friends. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.